Thank you so much. Thank you. How are you? Just taking you in for a minute. You know, I'm just always so delighted to be invited to speak here, and there's so many of you in the room that I have such a heart connection with. In fact, I don't see anybody I don't have that with, so thank you so much for welcoming me and for being present here. Just thrilled to, am I fading in and out? Okay. This figures into my talk today, so you'll hear it, but I'm always so happy to support Reverend Patty and her ministry because she's the real deal. A woman of great consciousness, she selects the best quotations I've ever heard any minister ever do. And she has generated with her beloved partner, Larry, a loving family. And she brings that in, a loving, healthy family with beautiful children. And she brings that energy to this community. And she has a high vision for love and in community. And so I honor you and I thank you. And I'm just happy to do something today to assist you. And I really mean it. The talk for today is The Dance of Imperfection. And I'm going to share a little bit about my own path of healing around the subject of self-approval and valuing uniqueness. But I wanted to begin by sharing a little bit about science of mind and just to bring to your attention something that you know but you may not have thought of it in exactly this way, is that at the core of science of mind, there is a very profound focus on the divinity, the worth, and the individuality and the uniqueness of the individual being. And that makes us different from some other religions. We have a very high opinion of the human being. A very high opinion of the human being. Early on in the Science of Mind textbook, in fact, it's page 36, it says, Ernest Holmes writes, "There is spirit, or this invisible cause, out of which all things are made. There is one original cause out of which we are made. We are made from this thing. That is why we are called the Son of God. We now know that this is what we are because we could not be anything else. But we do not know how much of this we are. When we see it," that's with a capital I, "when we see it as it is," meaning God, "then we will see ourselves as we are." In other words, if we could really see the reality of God, we would know the reality of the self. And we shall find a better God when we shall have arrived at a higher standard for man. In other words, when we start really living the truth of our being, not only would that be good for us, but we will also know something greater about God. So it's a lovely thing. In other words, we're created out of the substance and of the essence of the thing that we call spirit or God, and we're made out of that because that's all there is to, for anything to be made out of. And the more clearly we see the truth and the reality of God, the more we will see ourselves, and the more we see the truth of the self, the more we will see the truth about God. I like that. Do you like that? So here's some more Ernie. I call him Ernie. We've been on an intimate basis for a long time. He also writes this, "This original life is infinite. It is good. It is filled with peace. It is of the essence of purity. It is ultimate intelligence. It is power. It is law. It is life. It is in us. In that inner sanctuary of our nature, hidden perhaps from objective gaze, nestles the seed, perfection. The whole nature of divine being is reenacted through us. Each individual is a unique variation in the universe, yet rooted in that which is identical. We partake of the nature of universal wholeness. We partake of the nature of divine being. We are divine. Our inherent nature is ever seeking to express itself in terms of freedom. It is up to us whether we experience freedom or bondage." So to summarize, our being is divine and whole. The divine life indwells us. The seed of perfection lies at the very center of our being. Each one of us is unique, and yet we're rooted together in oneness. Our inherent nature seeks to express itself in terms of freedom, and it's up to each one of us whether it will do that or not. Will it be freedom? Will it be bondage? It's up to us. So that's a big dose of Ernest Holmes for you this morning. So take a breath. But it's lovely to hear his words, I think. And what we can hear in that is this very core focus, I'll say again, on the value of the individual that lives at the heart of science of mind. And that really does distinguish us from other spiritual systems. It's really an important aspect of our spiritual philosophy. And whether you've been here in this community for years, or you've been in religious science for a long time, or you just walked in the door today, you are in a community established in a spiritual philosophy that absolutely honors the divinity and the worth of individual being. You may not be knowing that today about you, but we know that about you. And science of mind knows that about you, and it's your opportunity for you to know that about you. In fact, you might say that we have come here exactly for that work. That we've come here today, but also into religious science for exactly that work, to come and know that truth and to live it. And so I have a question for you. How are you doing with knowing that today? Yeah? Woo! Okay, and for those of you who haven't said anything yet, just close your eyes for a moment and imagine a scale from 1 to 10. And 1 is where you don't single think the divine truth of your being, or you're not feeling it today. I'm not feeling it. You know how that goes. And 10 is like full-bodied realization of this truth right now, today, and just see where you are. No shame, no blame, just a little moment of assessment. How are you doing with knowing your magnificence, your wholeness, your uniqueness? How are you doing with treasuring truth and living it fully? And just take a moment and see where you are about that. So be it, and so it is. Open your eyes. Some of us have been taught this truth. Some of us. I think about my children growing up in religious science. I think about the Paris kids, and Andy and Eileen's daughter, Allison, came to my mind, and there are a bunch of other kids who have grown up in religious science, and it's wonderful to see how they unfold with a greater awareness of this truth at the center of their being, because they've heard it, sung to them, it's been said to them, it's been prayed to them in junior church or whatever the youth ministry is called, and they're fortunate in that. You know, there's a little story, a little story about why was Jesus able to do the amazing things he did, and the answer is because his parents told him he was the Son of God. And there you have it. Now, I wasn't raised with this awareness. How about you? You know, some of us were taught this, some of us not. There are a few adults who've been fortunate enough to grow up in religious science. I wasn't one of them, but I really didn't have too much of a religion of origin, so I count myself lucky, because I didn't have a whole lot I had to get over, fortunately. But most of us were not taught this, and there's a principle in religious science, which is that if you're not actively right thinking, if you're not actively thinking the spiritual truth, then prevailing human race consciousness will do its thinking through you. And that's really important to remember now, because human race consciousness of the negative variety is beginning to accumulate a bit. So, other talk. If we're not actively right thinking, human race consciousness will do its thinking through us, and there is something called a universal doubt that lives in the deep subjective of the human race, and that doubt is, I am not enough. And so very often when we go toe-to-toe with some of our deepest issues, we will find at the core of the false belief we're working on that belief, I am not enough. The mother of all false beliefs, you might say, the mother of all false beliefs. In other words, we're not knowing that the seed of perfection is at the center of our being. And so in one way or another, we will not let ourselves win in life, or at least we will not let ourselves win, whatever that means to you, to the fullest possible extent, because that little doubt, I am not enough, keeps rotating at the center of our being. And so there are all kinds of things that we do with that. You're going to want to keep breathing now. As I'm here with you, the side of the room is really holding their breath, so just roll. So, and if you stop reading, I'm going to have really hard time. So, so we do lots of interesting things. Oh, it's so perfect. It's so perfect. Shall I use this? You can hear me. Okay. So perfect. I love it. When we don't know the seed of perfection at the center of our own being, sometimes we'll try to create this perfection on the outside. Or am I the only one who does that? So that we, I assure you, this is not you or your skill. It's absolutely my talk. Okay. Well, I was considering walking, but maybe I'm not going to. Okay. I mean walking around, not walking out. Walk up and back about that. Yeah, can you see that? I'm out of here. So we can try to create perfection on the outside by having all things in order, you know, having things perfect, whatever that is, and trying to get people to be a certain way so that we'll know that we're okay, all of that sort of thing. Or we can be a person who develops a habit of seeking the approval of other people as a way to know that we're okay. And on the way to that, there are all kinds of contortions of the self, you know, bending this way, bending that way, and in the process, never really pleasing the self, never really pleasing the self out of trying to please everybody else in one way or another, and really under that, never truly approving of the self that one is. Now, I'll share with you my own favorite miserable version of this. And it's not so much that I enter into encounters trying to people please, although I've done that in the past, but not so much recently. It's more that after the encounter, I'm thinking, I could have done something else. I should have said something else. I could have, should have done, been done differently than that. Do you know what I mean? So it's actually being authentic in the moment, but then making it wrong on the exit. And in the doing of that, there is the speaking of that universal doubt. Somehow, I'm just not quite enough. And the even more miserable thing that I do about this is that I truly believe that I am here, and as I believe this for myself, I believe it for everybody else. But as a public speaker, I do believe and ask that I might be a channel for what wants to be said. And so when I go to create a talk, I sit in meditation. I had lovely visions of all of you yesterday. And I sit in meditation, and I say, thank you for your presence in my life. And I begin to allow information to come to me about what wants to be said. So I'm real good. The hookup is there. It's there. But the problem is after the talk is over, on the way home, I'm doing the, that wasn't okay. It should have been like this. It should have been like that. And it's a really insane thing to do, just to be open to be the vehicle or vessel and then to make the information wrong. Anybody else do this? Okay, so I'm not alone. So this has been a really long path of healing for me around this entire subject. And it was up for me the day that John Kirko said, now is the time, we need your talk title. So that's how we got to have this talk, The Dance of Imperfection. But I wanted to share about it anyway. It's been a long path of learning for me, and I hope that you will not make this talk today about me, because it really is intended to be about you, but I am sharing from my own experience so that you will reflect on your own experience. But this shows that we can, in science of mind, or really on any spiritual path, take an issue and work with it until it's done. We really do have the ability to do that, and I actually think there is a request from the universe that we do this. And I actually think that there is a promise at the heart of science of mind that we can do this. Because I think that we're here to live the wholeness of God fully expressed through our uniqueness. So you do have the ability to select an issue, whatever it might be, relationships, finances, career, artistic expression, whatever it might be, and use the principles of science of mind to get to the end of the thing and to have your spiritual victory on the other side. So I'm happy to say that I have been working with this issue so long that I really recently had a change about it and that I reached an end point. You know, it's a fine day when you experience an old pain
just one too many times. And something says, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I will not do this again. It's a powerful day. It's a powerful, powerful day. And I reached the decision, and I have all kinds of counselors, so they've all been colluding with me in this decision. I reached the decision to never again look outside of myself for the approval of anybody else. And it's always so slightly scary to say something like that because there usually is a test right away. So we'll see how that goes. But what I did was to take the job of approval over, and that my job is to approve of me. And in those moments, so please say after me, I approve of myself.
I approve of myself.
And again.
I approve of myself.
And now like you really mean it. In those moments where I know I could slip into the old pattern, I say, I approve of myself. I can guarantee you, as I'm driving home from here today, I'm going to be saying over and over again, I approve of myself, I approve of myself, I approve of myself. I go into meetings with all kinds of big spiritual people, and I get to sit there and say, I approve of myself. I approve. Whether I'm contributing anything or not, I approve of myself. I'm about to go into one of those this week. So we have the power to make this decision. And for the sake of the fullness of the expression of the divine life that we have, I think it's absolutely crucial. Now, maybe this isn't your issue, or you reached this point a long time ago. Bless you. Just be patient while the rest of us catch up. There is huge value, though, to moving to taking on the job of approving of yourself, because in the doing of that, there is a doorway that opens, a doorway that I didn't even realize was there. And the doorway is a doorway deep into the individual being. It's a doorway for you deep into the deep truth of who and what you are. And it gives you the opportunity to actually see what is there. That no longer is your focus about how do I take this thing that I kind of am and contort it to please somebody else, and I really don't even know if they actually want that. You know, I mean, we make up all these crazy things about that. Instead of that, we're saying, let me see who I truly am. And how do I approve of this self? How am I authentic with that? And how do I bring that out as a blessing to the world? Because that is what you are here to do. You are here to carry into expression some piece of God's infinite nature. And it takes absolutely all of us to do this. Because God's nature is so infinite, it takes all of us that have been and all and ever will be to even begin to express the fullness of divine beingness. And if you don't do it, it will be missing. If you don't do it, not only will you not be as fulfilled as you could be, but something from this universal experience will be missing. You know, there's some great questions on the planet at this time, and I think maybe you were asking this question last week, Patty. It's from Byron Katie. Is that where that came from? Who would you be without your story? That is a great mind-opening question. Who would you be without your story? And the other great question is, how would you be if you knew you couldn't lose? How would you be if you knew you couldn't fail? What would your life be like? And these are questions that guide us into the deep individual depths of our own being so that we see what is there and start living that. And that little statement, I approve of myself, does the same thing. To say I approve of myself, suddenly all of you becomes available. Now, does that mean you like every single little thing that you do? No. We certainly don't like every single little thing other people do. And that's just how it goes. But what it allows you to do is to begin to approve the deep beingness that you are. What I realized about this subject is that perfection is not about anything on the outside. As much as we might try to have things perfect or together, it's not about anything on the outside. The seed of perfection lies within. Within you already is the seed of perfection. And you are here to be an infinite, variable expression of that in the world in exactly the way that you do. So the last thing I want to say about this pattern that I was in is that there's a really amusing way that it has manifested for a long time. It's actually kind of insidious, and it's why I call this talk the Dance of Imperfection. And that is on the way, as a public speaker and on the way to trying to have everything be perfect on the outside, there has been this interesting collusion between the universe and my clothing. And more often than not, on the way to a public engagement, there will be something wrong or something off, and it usually is some kind of wardrobe malfunction. Don't we love Janis Jackson for that phrase? So I remember years ago at Pacific Church standing on the stage with the zipper of my pants down. And I remember another time, orange suit, I remember it well. And then I remember, which was not the color for me anyway. And I remember another time in the days of the big shoulder pad traveling down my arm. And then another time had this sheer silk skirt on in front of, you know, a window that you could see right through. You know, all kinds of things. And the most recent one that really got my attention was I was invited to the Bahamas to speak for the Universal Foundation for Better Living conference that is put on by Mary Tumpkin. And it was a big deal. And I had never been with this group of people before, and they are primarily an African-American community, like 99%. And, you know, they dress to the nines. And so I was getting out, you know, my best suit that I could wear. And on the way, and I was already running late, which is also a favorite miserable pattern. And on the way, buttoning my jacket, the button broke. It's not like it came off. It's like this plastic button broke. No other button, nothing to do about it, like nothing to do about it. Now, it sounds completely ridiculous because I approve of myself now. In that moment, it was like, you know, how can this be? And what even made it funnier was that the theme of the conference was living the authentic truth. So this is what I mean. There is a collusion between the universe and the rest of my life to help get me off any kind of perfectionism. I can't even list for you the number of things that go wrong in my life that are silly little things that are to get me off thinking that perfection is anything on the outside. And it's always a call to just love the self. So I actually showed up, not hiding behind the platform. I like stepped out, whoops, and said, look at this, you know. Anyway, they probably will not invite me back again. But anyway, so what's authentic is what is. And what's authentic is living the divine truth of your being, your wholeness, the fact that there is an individual variation of divine infinity that you are responsible to express, and that it's not about any kind of artificial standard. There is no standard to which you are to measure up. There is no standard of measuring up. There's only the fullness of your being, and are you expressing, and are you loving your life? Are you loving your life? Are you expressing the fullness of the self, and are you contributing in some way? When you think about what life is, isn't it really that? You know, when we think about seeing ourselves the way God sees us, what does God see about us? That we're light, that we're luminous, that we're radiant, that we're loving, and that we're learning. Radiant, loving, learning beings. What else could God see? What else could God see? So who's watching, really? And what is so deeply deserving of approval is the self that you are. And you know, as you think about it, you're always going to be too much for some people and not enough for others. Right? However, whenever there's an evaluation going on from one person to another, it's really much more about the person doing the evaluating than the one being evaluated. Okay, so being too much or not enough, you know what? It's just, it just really doesn't even compute. I'm going to take over the job of approval for yourself. Give it to yourself, to who you are, to your contribution, to your full expression. And in the doing of that, there is an opening to the richness of being. I don't think we even know what is available to us when we let go of this old habit and really open to the truth of who and what we are. There's something else I want to say about that. Well, it was a really good point, and I'll think about it on the way home. Oh, I know. I know. I approve of myself. I approve of myself. Okay. I know. Comparison and competition. That's what I wanted to speak about. So comparison becomes ridiculous, really, when you think that you're here to express the uniqueness of your own being. To compare with another person, again, it's another one of those things that doesn't compute. Now, we can really see how fully expressed someone is and say, wow, I'd like to be fully expressed like that. I'd like to be fully expressed, not I need want to be like that. You know, all of us who are ministers in religious science have Michael Beckwith as this astounding person who's doing such great work in the world and expressing so fully that it's hard not in moments to have a thought of comparison. But you know what? The world doesn't need another Michael Beckwith. The world needs a Reverend Patty, and the world needs a Reverend Kathy, and the world needs a Reverend Kathleen, and the world needs everybody else who's doing this work. There's nothing about repeating any kind of thing, because Patty and Kathy and Kathleen are going to cover different people than Michael Beck. Well, I don't know. He sort of is taking over the world at the moment, but you know, we're going to cover different people, and everybody needs to be covered, you know, with spirituality. And I was thinking about competition, too. It's the same thing. I know that there's a healthy competition that inspires us to do better, you know, to be the fullness of the self. But that negative competition where we're trying to win out over somebody, I'm not sure that that's in alignment with this living the deep truth of who and what we are, unless it is. But there's a lovely little line, you know, we have musicians in our organization that I've spoken about. Their group is called Ruby, and they do roomy tunes. And there's a lovely little line that says, why do we try to outdo each other when we all have come from the same home? Why do we try to outdo each other when we've all come from the same home? It's a lovely thing. So I want to close by sharing a little bit from Emma Curtis Hopkins, because my book resume happened to be open to this page, and I thought, okay, maybe there's something here. And Emma does teachings based on 12 stones that go into the building of the holy city of Jerusalem, which is the temple of the living spirit within. And the 10th stone has to do with the realization. So the stones represent like foundation stones in our spiritual realization. And the 10th stone means no situation daunts us. And she talks about standing on the stone of confidence and knowing the truth. And she gives two examples. And the first one is to stand on the stone of confidence and know the spiritual truth in terms of seeing the wholeness of the reality of God behind anyone who is ill. So she says, see the shining sun of health back of sickness. So if you have somebody who is ill, how many of you have somebody ill in your life that you're concerned about? The best thing you could do today, besides going to see them if you have the ability to do that, is not to see just the appearances of illness, but to let your spiritual sight see that shining sun of health behind their sickness. And the sun is S-U-N, but it could also be S-O-N, okay, in that sense. To see that truth of wholeness, that divine wholeness that stands behind the experience of illness. You will be doing a lot to assist them in the seeing of that. The other example that she gives is when we're in the midst of adversity, to keep seeing steadfastly, looking steadfastly toward God. And here are Emma's words. After years of looking upward to God as his sovereign, a man, passing through many vicissitudes, don't you love that, was suddenly set into prosperity beyond his expectations. This gave him great leverage with his neighbors, and his doctrine that God reigns was listened to. The adversities that shrouded his path had been the opposing activities that would have shrouded through his whole lifetime, had not his high statement and his high watch held out to the end. To yield to doubt and fear because conditions are gloomy is not to hold out to the end of the clouds. Let me say that again. To yield to doubt and fear because conditions are gloomy is not to hold out to the end of the clouds. Some people let go of God and the great truth that they started forth with, so they never see their victory in this life. So in other words, no matter what is going on, our spiritual job is to keep watching and looking steadfastly toward the truth of the one that never changes, to the shining sun that is behind the clouds. And I love that phrase, hold on to the end of the clouds. And we all go through times when we can't do this, so we hire people or talk to people or get prayers from people who do this for us. And this is the value of practitioners, and this is the value of ministers, and this is the value of the people in your life who will hold the light of the spiritual truth resolutely when you have forgotten. And it's okay to forget. It happens. Sometimes where it's wiped out. You know, I was, my daughter Susanna, who's 24 now, was ill the other day. She's been living with me for 2 years. It just amazes me. I wanted to get out of the house so fast, I couldn't believe it when I was younger. But anyway, we're having a great time. And she was really ill this week with a fever, like up to 103, you know, and she was not feeling well. And in the middle of that, she's very 24, and she's got high aspiration and is working on big projects that she doesn't really know exactly how to do. There's lots of learning going on about how to do big things in the world. And in the middle of her illness, she had a meltdown about the whole thing and how could she be thinking of doing this. And you know how you get on those days when you don't feel well and you get kind of weepy and it looks like, what was I thinking? You know, all that stuff. And so we just talked about it, and I said, you know, you don't want to believe what you're thinking when you're sick. You just don't want to. It's just not good practice. And so yesterday, I walked by her room, and she was sitting in bed reading Science of Mind magazine. And she said, you know what, Mom? All the principles that I knew just went flying out the window the other day. Thank God for Ernest Holmes, you know? And so she was sitting in bed reading the excerpt, I think it's in this month's magazine, about your spiritual broadcasting system or whatever, and she was being restored to the truth that she knows. You know, now nothing outwardly has changed yet, but how she feels and how she feels supported by spiritual truth has totally transformed in the space of a couple of days. So it's really, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's very exciting. So I mentioned this stuff about looking steadfastly toward God, because we're in a challenging time on the planet, and human race consciousness and gloominess for some people seems to be sort of accumulating, and there are challenges, around money and all kinds of other things, and who knows what's going to be coming down the pike exactly. But it doesn't matter, because our job remains the same, and that is to look steadfastly toward God no matter what's going on. And when we forget ourselves, we ask somebody else to do that for us, and we support each other in that. And it's about seeing toward the one regardless of circumstances or situations. Remember that back over the track of our seeing comes what we vision toward. Back over the track of our seeing comes what we vision toward. So whatever you're giving your attention to, whatever you're seeing, that's going to come back to you. We have the opportunity to understand that there's some kind of global shift that's going on and to start seeing the shift is already done. Barbara Marx Hubbard says, be there now. Let us be there now. What would it be like for you? What would the world be like if a big shift took place and instead of the worst practices of humankind were holding sway, the best practices were holding sway? And there was change in economics, and there was change in the health of the planet, and there was change in opportunities for all people, and there was change around war into peace, and there was change about racism into appreciating differences. All of that stuff, how would that be? We have the opportunity to start seeing that now, whatever it would be, and to let the rest of the stuff that comes up just be the dance of imperfection. The dance of imperfection on the way to the greater truth and the greater revelation. There's a little line from a feast poem. He says, there is no one who is not upon God's jeweled dance floor. There is no one who is not upon God's jeweled dance floor. And this is what we're in. We're in the dance of imperfection, but carrying the seed of perfection within us, called upon to express the fullness of who and what we are. Spirit calls you into the dance so that you may come to know exactly what is real. And what is totally real what I saw so clearly about you yesterday in my meditation was the whole unique, divine, and beautiful being that you are. Thank you so much.